I mean, he's a good football player. You know, he's a three-down player, you know, which is interesting. Normally, you know, having gone against Pittsburgh quite a bit, you know, when they play their base defense, you know, in a 3-4, you know, it's usually one of those defensive ends, you know, or a three-down player. I really feel they have three of them. You know, I think that he's done it. You know, Cam obviously is an outstanding player, and Truitt's another really good football player. And very rarely do you see a defensive front in a 3-4 where they have two players, you know, that are potentially can be on the field for all three downs. I think they're – and what makes them three-down players is obviously they're very stout, very heavy-handed in the run game, and, you know, they get pass rush. You know, and I think that's, you know, that's something that maybe is different for their football team than maybe other 3-4 teams that you play during the year. You know, all those players, you know, for them up front, the three up front guys can not only can they play the run, they can play the pass.
When you watch the film of the second half of the season, how has Juju kind of emerged for them? It seems like his targets have gone up, his kind of involvement in the offense as well.
Yeah, it started to go up a little bit, you know what I'm saying, when we were playing. Again, just an outstanding, you know, first year for him. You know, he's got a lot of good players around him, and you know, it makes, you know, he gives the, you know, he makes other people around him better too. I mean, he's really good run after the catch. He can make people miss. He was a good player coming out of college. You know, and you take a good player like him coming out of college and put him around a bunch of other good players, you know, he has a chance to play well, and he's played extremely well. So, you know, he's one of many players that will be a challenge for us defensively, you know, to contain, because I don't know if it's a team that you can stop, but, you know, you got to make sure you can contain them.
Like this past week, it's going to be really windy in Pittsburgh. How do you prepare for that during the week?
How windy is it going to be?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but it's supposed to be
10 miles an hour out of the west. That's not bad.
No.
No. No. Well, yeah, I mean, come on now. No, unless we're playing indoors.
The experience of playing in Pittsburgh, what will guys benefit from that going in there and, you know, having been in that environment?
I think what it benefits is, well, we're staying at a different hotel, so that doesn't come into play. Going into the stadium, that's beneficial. You know where, hey, this is the locker room, this is where the bathroom is, this is where the coffee's set up. But seriously, that's a little bit of something in that. Outside of that, the environment will be different. You know, playoff environment, it'll be different up there. So we'll just have to go out there and, you know, just focus on our team and what we have to do.
A guy like Mercedes, who has been in that stadium, in that environment, in the playoffs, is there anything he can share that will help guys, or is it just you gotta be ready for it?
Yeah, I don't know. I was there in 2004, you know, when I was with the Jets, and we had lost in overtime. So, you know, I think there's more focus going on how you perform and how you play, you know, than, hey, oh, guess what? This is what it's going to look like. I think everyone can visualize what it's going to be like, the hostile environment.
Doug, the Steelers have been rather pointed in their comments about putting a target on Leonard Fournette. You know, Ben's talked about how much he wants to rectify what happened last time. Do you feel in any way that you guys have any kind of psychological edge going into this game because of the lopsidedness of the score last time?
I don't personally, because, you know, I'm just getting ready for another game. I can't speak for our players, you know what I'm saying, Gene, if they want that. I look at it as more just human nature, you know what I'm saying? We won the first one. They had an opportunity to play us again. They want to play us again. You know, I would feel the same way, you know, if we had, you know, that situation. So, you know, at the end of the day, it still goes back to being able to perform on that Sunday. Yeah.
You like the fact that maybe some of your defensive players, and you know who they are, kind of feed off of that stuff.
Those guys are different, man. I've been saying it all year. I mean, our guys, you know, and I wish I can come up here sometimes, like if you saw me before a game, and I'd be able to say, okay, we're ready, we're not ready. We, you know, during the week of practice, hey, this is, they're a loose team, I would say that about our team. They really like each other. They joke around, challenge each other quite a bit. I think that's helped us at times. I think we're emotional. I think that's helped us at times. I think it's hurt us at times. So I think individually each one of them will probably be a little bit different on how you ask them those questions. But, you know, they'll be better asked for that. I've never told any of the players not to say anything, you know, to you know, media, whatever. I think you got to be who you are, you know, and you know. But for us, our focus obviously is going to be, you know, on our performance and getting ready for Sunday. You know, knowing it's going to be, you know, we're going to get that best game, and we got to get our game being to our best.
Le'Veon Bell, 85 catches for a running back. What makes him such a good receiver?
I mean, he's been that way, you know, really, you know, for a long time in this league. You know, he's a Pro Bowl running back. He's not one dimensional. You know, and I think what I mean by that, it's not like, okay, hey, this guy's going to take the ball. He's going to run downhill and run you over every single time he takes it. He can do that. He can also get the ball outside. He has excellent patience. That's the one thing I notice. His feet are low to the ground. He has really good patience. He'll wait for the hole to open. He has a really good understanding of the blocking scheme. And then when you get into the protection part of it, very natural. You know, when you watch him, when he runs out there, everything's natural. He's a natural catcher. You know, and then now all of a sudden, you take all the things that have made him a great running back and you put him in space. Now it's tough because he's not a – it's very difficult to tackle one-on-one. So you have to get multiple people, you know, to the ball on him.
You said you want your guys to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But is Brad Allen working the game? He worked the Cincinnati game earlier this year. Do you mention this sort of, this is a guy who has a little bit of a history? He knows kind of, you saw what happened in that game. Do you even address that at all this week?
We talk about the officials every week. So we always address the officials of who we have every week. A little bit tougher, you know, in the format now with the mixed crews. But normally we talk to our players about, hey, what's called, and show them examples and things of that nature, you know, so we know exactly, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure they understand, you know, what this crew calls quite a bit of or what they may not call or, you know, things of that nature. So we analyze the crew every Thursday.
Doug, what was your evaluation of how Blair Brown played on Sunday and what kind of strides has he made since?
Yeah, I think every time he's gotten opportunities now, you see him getting better. I think, you know, I said it the other day, I think he's a player. He's going to be a very good football player, you know, and the more experience that he gets, you know, you see him, I don't know what the word is, but you see, you know, the reactions getting quicker and quicker and coming up and making plays. So, and he's been that way. But in the beginning, he hasn't had a lot of experience. Now he's getting a lot of experience, and we don't have a problem putting him in there if we have to.
With Bell and the way he runs, how much do you put emphasis on gap responsibility and those kind of things with the defensive front if he makes the back cuts?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the discipline. And we've been hurt when we haven't, you know, been in those gaps. You know, if someone comes over, someone gets washed out of a gap. You know, the backs that we've played have been very good backs. They have found that. You know, they're going to find those creases. And the more patient a runner is, which, you know, obviously Bell is, the more he can expose that, you know. So obviously we'll talk about that quite a bit of making sure the responsibilities are staying in our gaps.
Going all the way back to when you signed Campbell, Boye, and Church that week, when you're talking about those guys before the market opened, did you feel like Barry and Calais would have the kind of leadership impact you anticipated?
No, I try not to. I've said this before, I try not to anticipate the leadership role or anything of a player coming in to the team, because you never know how your team is going to react, you know, to those players. I think, you know, I look more to the production of the player, you know, what they can do, obviously. But also make sure of, hey, listen, has this guy been a good teammate? Is there any warning signs or red flags, you know what I'm saying, where this can be an issue? But, you know, I'll say this again. I can never give those three players, you know, because Barry Church is in there. It's unbelievable. And I think people lose sight of, you know, when you go out and you take three players, you know, and the decision is made to pay those players. You know, and then when they come in to a team, you know, they come into our team. And so then it's very hard for those players to maybe, even if they have that ability or skills, to go ahead and lead. Those three players came in here, and the first thing that they did, and this is just my opinion, you know, because you can't manipulate or try to get that done. They came in here and really got to know their teammates and became part of the team before they did anything else. And I think, you know, That's not easy to do. And all the three players did that, and they did it quickly, and they came together. Everyone came together on that side of the ball, and I think that's why we've had the success we've had. And it came together quite early, even though they were still working out, you know, the actual plan on the field.
On the flip side of that, did those three guys also do a good job of saying, hey, I got the money, but I'm going to do everything to fit into your culture and not try to
drive? I don't know what they said. I'm just telling you what I saw. You know what I mean, Ryan? So, you know, they just came in. And I was just giving an example of what happened in other places. You know, that didn't seem to happen here. It was more like, hey, listen, these guys are coming in. They're going to help us. Hey, welcome here. Hey, appreciate being here. I think Calais did a lot in the beginning to get the players together. And the only reason why I know is because I'd walk around and I'd see something on a chair and say, you know, hey, we're all going to go get together and go bowling. I was like, you know. Well, I guess I didn't get that invite, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying it was just on a chair in a locker room. So I think there was a lot going on with that team stuff early on.
How has Dante Fowler played the last couple of weeks?
He's done a good job. I mean, he's been working hard, you know, getting pressure in there, doing things. Those guys free each other up and play extremely hard. So, I mean, really everyone defensively is doing a nice job.
When you look back on what this team did defensively in the last outing, how much of it was just – the communication and everything else being spot on in the secondary linebackers, what have you, and how much of it was maybe forcing a couple throws as well?
Well, I think the one part about this time of year is if you're not spot on, you're going to get exposed. You know, that the teams that are now have taken advantage of whatever happens on that day, okay? I still say this, and I feel bad, but see, everyone comes out there today and you watch individual and you'll watch the players warm up, right? And you watch our defensive backs and our linebackers. But you don't see how much work goes into when we're showing them looks and showing them what's going on and things in the classroom of, you know, all the communication and all the checks. They work extremely hard. Communication is a big thing. So, you know, a lot of that is communication and maybe forcing people. You know what I'm saying? If we do our job, people may try to force some things. And I think, you know, we have done that offensively at times, you know, try to force some things. And sometimes, a lot of times in this profession, when you force something, it can go either way. Either someone can make a great play and you're like, whoa, what a great play. Or, God, what's going on? Why are they trying to do this? So, you know, but they've done a good job. We you know, and I think that when you look back at the course of the year, when we haven't had that communication, we have broke down, you've seen plays against us.
What's the coldest game you've ever been on sidelines for?
I can't recall the coldest game. I mean, I've been in some cold games now. I mean, as a player and a coach. As a player one time, I you know, back then they had the old-fashioned heaters, you know, the one where looks like a back of a jet engine, you know, it just and we were at the game, and, you know, now I'm not playing, okay? I'm on field goal PAT, right? So I am bundled up. I'm talking about, like, I'm like the Michelin man. I'm, like, walking. I got so much clothes on and layers and everything. So, you know what I'm saying? So my feet are cold, so I go, like, to put my, you know, all of a sudden my cleats start melting, you know what I'm saying? And then one of my buddies, Steve Trapillo, God bless him, he's passed away, he's a Boston College guy. He was a starting guard. He comes over there and he takes his helmet off, and you don't take your helmet off in the cold. Because back then, the inside of the helmet would freeze, you know, it would get hard. Then you put it on, it was like, you know, tough. So he takes the helmet off, and he put it like probably like a foot in front of it, and all it went was, poof. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just went up. It just went, poof. I mean, it was unbelievable. And they're not going to put me in there. I go, hey, here you go. Here's my helmet. I get my helmet right away. So I didn't go in there. But I can't really remember that. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the coldest game that I've been a part of. You know, up in Buffalo, there's been some really cold games, and the it's never the cold, like the cold, it's the wind. You know what I'm saying? That gets to you, and not because of the effect it has on the game, but the effect it has on wind chill factor.
Last
Which is why you know it's 10-mile-an-hour wind out of the west.
10 miles per hour out of the west. Most of the time during the week, it's going to be 7 or 8 or 9, and it's going to be high in the humidity. It's going to be rain, snow today, rain, and then it's going to temper down, and maybe that weather will push, and we'll get, you know, high weather and rain. I don't know.
You're a weatherman.
Yeah.
I have my guy Tyler Wolf tracks it for me.
T-Wolf's the weather.
See, I'll give you that one. T-Wolf that handles the weather.
Not challenges, but weather.
Not the challenges. I'm not disclosing that information. Okay? The weather is handled by Tyler.
Why are you switching hotels, given the success you had?
I just think when it comes in this time of year, they probably fill them up with the playoff stuff. We're not doing it purposely.
Oh.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.